As the largest building in colonial Boston, Old South played a crucial role in the tumultuous years leading up to the Revolutionary War. Large meetings to protest British rule were held within these walls. On March 5, 1770, tensions erupted in Boston streets and British soldiers fired into a menacing crowd, killing 5 men. The next day, a mass meeting at Old South, led by Samuel Adams, successfully demanded the removal of the soldiers involved in what was to be called the Boston Massacre. By 1773, colonial resistance had successfully won the repeal of all the taxes the British Parliament had imposed on the colonies, except for a tax on imported tea. In May of 1773, the British Parliament passed a Tea Act that allowed the English East India Company to sell tea in the American colonies at bargain prices, but there was still a tax on the tea. Patriot leaders believed the cheap tea was a ploy to get them to accept Parliament's right to tax the colonies. When 3 ships carrying East India Company tea arrived in Boston in November, Patriots refused to allow the tea to be unloaded and the tax paid. For 3 weeks, mass meetings appealed to Royal Governor Hutchinson to send the ships away. Royal Governor Hutchinson refused and asked the British Navy to block the harbor. It is December 16, 1773. The meeting of the body of the people is about to reconvene.
Patience, Henry. We've important business here, and it will be done before this day.
The assembly of 5,000 people at Old South Meeting House wants Royal Governor Hutchinson to allow the tea ships to leave Boston Harbor without unloading their cargoes.
So what has transpired so far?
We are agreed not to pay the tax on the accursed tea. But the owner of the vessel stands to have his ship and cargo seized by the crown if the duty goes unpaid after 20 days.
Stand aside, sir. Let Samuel Savage pass.
Let him pass.
A fair moderator he appears to be.
Excuse me.
No man envies him his job today.
Order! Order, if you please, gentlemen! Order! Order!
Thank you. Mr. Francis Roach.
Yes, Mr. Savage.
Mr. Roach, you were asked earlier to go to customs and request a clearance for your vessel, the Dartmouth, to leave Boston Harbor without unloading its cargo of tea.
Yes.
10 men, including Mr. Samuel Adams, accompanied you as witnesses. Can you tell us what transpired?
Gentlemen, the collector of customs, Mr. Richard Harrison, received us and then put us off until we could consult Mr. Halliwell, his superior. We waited until after he had conferred with Mr. Halliwell, whose opinion it was that Mr. Harrison could not give the Dartmouth clearance until the duties had been paid upon the articles on board.
Then, gentlemen, at our insistence, Mr. Roach applied to the naval officer in charge of providing safe passage past the castle.
That is correct.
He, too, said his hands were tied until Mr. Roach produced a clearance.
Is that Samuel Adams?
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Savage,
I recognize the gentleman in the back of the room.
I move that Mr. Roach immediately protest against the customs house and procure a pass of the governor, and that he this day proceed with his vessel to London.
Gentlemen, it is impossible.
It is not impossible.
It's impossible. We know it.
Order, if you please. Order. Mr. Roach, this body requests that you carry your protest to the governor and ask for a pass to move your vessel safely past the guns of the castle.
Mr. Savage, what you ask is impossible.
This meeting is in recess.
Francis Roach left Old South to ride 7 miles to the Royal Governor's country house in Milton and request the clearance pass that would let his ship and the 2 others leave Boston without unloading their cargoes of taxable tea.
We have heard from Mr. Adams, Dr. Warren, and Dr. Young. We have resolved
that every town in this province appoint a committee of inspection to prevent the accursed tea coming into any town in this province. We understand that Mr. Roach has not returned from seeing the governor in Milton. Therefore, the chair will now recognize Josiah Quincy, Jr.
Gentlemen, we must be blind to that malice, inveteracy, and insatiable revenge which actuate our enemies, public and private, abroad and in our bosom, to hope that we shall end this controversy without the sharpest conflicts, to flatter ourselves that popular resolves, popular harangues, popular acclamations, and popular vapor will vanquish our foes. Let us look to the issue. Let us look to the end. Let us weigh and consider before we advance to those measures which bring on the most trying and terrific struggle this country ever saw.
He's back. Here he comes.
You know the governor won't be the most
What fumes
I saw the governor and requested a pass. And Mr. Hutchinson replied that he was willing to grant anything consistent with the laws and his duty to the king. But he could not give a pass to take the ship out with the tea on board unless the vessel had been properly cleared by the customs house.
Order! Dr. Young!
Francis Roach must not suffer harm to his person or his property. He has shown us all that he is a good man and has done everything in his power to satisfy us today.
Hear, hear.
But we mustn't let the tea lag.
No tea. Order, if you please. Order. Mr. Roach, under the present circumstances, will you order the Dartmouth back to London with its cargo of tea?
Send it back. Send it back.
I apprehend that this would be my ruin.
Let it be your ruin.
Order, if you please. Mr. Roach, if you will not order your vessel and its cargo back to London, then, Mr. Roach, will you attempt to land the tea?
I must.
No!
For the regulations of the Council Commission. For my own security.
Gentlemen, this meeting can do nothing more to save the country.
This meeting is adjourned.
Patriots dressed as Indians then slip down to Griffin's Wharf, where they destroy the entire cargoes of the three tea ships, Dartmouth, Eleanor, and Beaver. News of the Old South meetings and the Boston Tea Party caused great excitement throughout the colonies and the world. Many rejoiced at the Patriots' bold actions, but others were afraid of what England would do in return.